We're studying the Gospel of Luke. We call this whole series Touch Me and See, taken from the end of the book, as the beloved Dr. Luke brings together first-person accounts of Jesus to help a church-going friend find personal faith in Christ. We're in the famous Sermon on the Mount. Last week, we looked at the Beatitudes, the promises of God's blessing upon disciples who dedicate their whole lives to the Lord. That last set of Beatitudes spoke of the blessing of those who dedicate their reputation to Christ, even in the midst of difficulty and bad behavior on other people's part. And that is what kind of links us to this next section, which will be chapter 6, starting in verse 27. Let me just read it to you. "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. To one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also, and from one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to him who begs, everyone who begs from you, and from one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. And as you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. If you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to get back the same amount. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great. And you will be called sons of the Most High, for he is grateful to the ungrateful and the evil. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful." And where he concludes there is kind of the theme I'm going to interpret the whole text with. This is the most controversial, I think, part of this sermon. It's one of the most controversial things Jesus ever taught. Critics label it as completely unrealistic, utopian, and unlivable ideal. Loving one's enemies is certainly counterintuitive, and it directly opposes that which was taught the people by the Pharisees. Let's, in fact, go back to where it all started, which is back in Leviticus 19. "You shall not hate your brother in your heart, but you shall reason frankly with your neighbor, lest you incur sin because of him. You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against the sons of your own people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." Now, this text deals with grudges between neighbors, the common friction that neighbors have with each other. People who live together need to love each other. We're talking about the covenant community of faith. And the rule of thumb here is treat another person the way you treat yourself. Treat another person the way you treat yourself. Very simple. Hatred is forbidden, and when there is friction, we are commanded simply to talk and reason things out. In such a community where everybody is bound to this rule, there's no need for hatred, no need to treat anybody poorly, just treat each other the way we would treat ourselves. Now, the command for us all to treat each other as we would treat ourselves works great when we're in the covenant community and we've got people like elders to help us do it and so on. But it seems to break down outside. The Pharisees arose during the period of time when Israel had been nationally raped by the Greeks, and now it was being abused by the Romans, outsiders. The Romans were not subtle about their military occupations. They were as hard as they had to be to enforce order and taxes, and especially in the case of this province, had very little respect for the locals. So when the Pharisees taught from Leviticus, they, shall we say, paraphrased it. This is how Jesus responded to their teaching. He said, "You have heard that it was said," in other words, the Old Testament doesn't say this, but "you've heard the Pharisees tell you, the Old Testament says, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy." If you didn't notice it back there in the originals, because it's not there. The Pharisees taught the golden rule, treat others as you want to be treated, only works with people who abide by the same rule. Doesn't work with the enemy. So it's okay with God to hate your enemies because they hate us, right? Right? No. Jesus said no. He says, "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you." He's explicitly correcting the Pharisees. He says the golden rule applies to our enemies, and his disciples must love their enemies as well as their brothers and their neighbors. But how does that work? How does that work? The golden rule given among the people of faith. Everybody treat each other the way you want to be treated, and if everybody does that, it's not any friction. If there's any friction, you just talk it out. How do you apply the golden rule to people who refuse to work it out with you? Who make themselves your enemy no matter what you say, not your brother, and will treat you poorly regardless of what you do? How do you apply the golden rule with people who curse you, abuse you, slap you, as to say, insult you, take your stuff, borrow with no intention of returning anything? Now, think, are you supposed to just keep treating them the way you would treat yourself? Is that it? Just keep applying the golden rule as it's taught. You know, when they take from you, your response is, well, you just never take from them. Or they curse you, and your response is, well, you just don't curse them. Is that it? Jesus says, not exactly. Not exactly. The golden rule has to be applied differently to your enemies. Look carefully at verses 28 to 30. Someone curses or abuses you. The golden rule would say, well, just never curse them. What does Jesus say? Bless them. Pray for them. That's more than not cursing them. Someone strikes you on the cheek. They insult you. The golden rule says, just never insult them. But Jesus, no, absorb the insult. That's more than never insulting them to begin with. Someone takes your cloak. The golden rule says, well, don't take their cloak. But Jesus says, no. If they take your cloak, give them literally the shirt off your back, the tunic, okay? Someone begs from you. They want to borrow from you. The golden rule says, well, just never ask to borrow anything from them. But that's not what Jesus says. What they borrow, don't require them to return. That's more than just not borrowing from them. Something different is happening here. Within the community of faith, the golden rule is you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Do to others as you would do to yourself. But when you deal with enemies, Jesus applies the golden rule a little differently. He says, as you wish that others would do to you, do to them. That's different. And it's not only saying as you wish, because it's not happening. He's taking the golden rule into a particular circumstance of nasty, unfair, even hateful behavior. It's to be understood in that situation, that environment. Among your Christian family, just treat each other as you treat yourself. But when enemies abuse you, treat them better than you would treat yourself. Treat them the way you wish others would treat you in context. Treat them the way you wish others would treat you when you are nasty to people. It's in context. Treat others the way you wish people would treat you when you are nasty. The fact is that at one time or another, we all behave poorly. There are times when we make unreasonable demands, when I take out my anger verbally, abusing somebody who's not at fault. There are times when you take liberties with somebody else's possessions or time. And when we hurt each other unfairly, taking it out on them, frustrations that come from somewhere else, which is why it's unfair, when we act that way and we get kind of called under the carpet, what do we say? What do we want? We have a phrase that we often use. Give me a break. Give me a break. Don't get mad. Don't fire me. Don't throw me out. Don't give up on me. Give me a break. Jesus says, treat those who abuse you in exactly the same way as you want to be treated when you act that way. Give them a break. Give them a response they don't deserve. Religious language, give them grace. Give them mercy. It may help to remember the various pains and strains in our own lives that tend to make us act out so that we can help understand other people. I'll speak for myself. I had a father who could not communicate with me. That creates a lot of frustration. I once worked for an employer who sexually groped me. Happens to men too. I once worked for a man who stole money from me. I was once dumped by a girl who didn't tell me why. I was once rammed. When Mickey and I were at a traffic light, we're stopped, a person came up and rammed us. And then he got out and calmly explained why. There was a good reason for it. He was putting eye drops in his eyes while he was driving. And as with you, a lot of things have happened that are much more painful. And sometimes I have taken out my frustrations on other people unfairly. And on those rare occasions when I've been challenged for my behavior, please, please don't treat me as I deserve. Please give me a break. Jesus tells his disciples, it's very, very important for my disciples to give people a break when they are unfairly treated. It's not enough just to apply the golden rule as you would in church. It's not enough just to treat other people well. When someone, usually outside of the church, treats you as an enemy for no reason, you must treat them better than the standard golden rule. You must treat them the way you would like to be treated when you act poorly toward people. Give them a break. Treat them with grace. Do more good for them than they would ever ask or expect. Why? Why would that be in particularly important for Jesus' disciples? Jesus teaches that such occasions are when people can learn something about who loves them. If you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. Well, there's nothing wrong with loving people who love you. Jesus is not disparaging that. But people need to know that there is someone whom they do not love who loves them anyway. You can see where this is going. Jesus' disciples have met someone they did not love who loved them anyway. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great. You'll be called sons of the Most High, for he's kind to the ungrateful and evil, and be merciful as your Father is merciful. Jesus says to his disciples, this is how the golden rule applies to enemies. Treat them the way God treated you when you were his enemies. Christian, you are God's son or daughter. The word includes both. Don't respond to enemies just by doing what's right. Go beyond and do what's merciful. Because God has done more for you than just do what is right. He has been merciful to you. Be like that. Be like him. Do you remember when you were God's enemy? I wonder if that's more difficult for those of you who grew up in the church and you've always been treated as God's friend since you've been children. I remember when I was God's enemy. I consciously became an atheist when I was 5. I believe science had displaced God. I became offended at the thought or mention of God. In my teen years, I actively and publicly spoke against any reference to God in public documents. I avoided people who were religious. In fact, I spent more and more time with my first love, that UNIVAC 1108. I loved programming. It was logical, not like those religious people and that religious nonsense. I blasphemed God, I opposed God, and worst of all, I ignored God. But God did not ignore me. Nor did he let all of my ignorant acting out push him away. He first got my attention through that UNIVAC, through that computer. He shocked me one night at 2 a.m. by showing me how illogical my philosophy was. Then he brought Christians into my life who cared for me, who loved me, even though they knew I wasn't a Christian. Then he brought teaching into my mind that inspired it. And then he led me to a church with leaders I could identify with. I thought that was just impossible, but he did. If he were only fair, God would have treated me as I treated him. He would have ignored me. But he was more than fair. He was merciful. He didn't treat me as I deserved. He didn't treat me as he wished to be treated. He went, as Jesus would elsewhere express it, the extra mile. He did more than what was necessary for righteousness, as it were. He mercifully did what I needed in order to find him. I think the Sermon on the Mount, this part, this section of the Sermon on the Mount, I think is often not given the attention it deserves and is not understood as a result. I read commentaries, I've heard teachers who seem to focus on what this does not mean. Love your enemies does not mean you can't fight in wartime. Turn the other cheek does not mean you can't defend yourself when you're mugged. Give to those who ask doesn't mean you give to people who won't spend the money well. If someone takes your coat, then give them the shirt off your back. That doesn't mean you empty your bank account. Lend to those who ask doesn't mean you co-sign unwise loans, etc., 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 etc. Well, of course, there's biblical evidence that we should take care of ourselves. That's true, but it misses the point. Disciples of Jesus Christ demonstrate the extra, the extravagant, the over-the-top mercy that people can find in God through Christ. The way Jesus' disciples respond to unjust, unreasonable, nasty treatment does more than demonstrate their righteousness. It demonstrates their mercy, which grows out of how God has responded to their nasty, unreasonable, and unjust behavior. The nasty actions of people who make themselves our enemies creates the opportunity to demonstrate the gospel in a way that is more powerful than words alone. We claim that God is willing in Christ to forgive sins. We claim we've been forgiven our sins against him. Those claims take on weight when we forgive sins committed against us. When people unfairly take out their pain and despair and anger against us, we can demonstrate God's merciful response to pain and despair and anger. When people hurt us for no other reason than they are morally broken from birth, we can demonstrate God's merciful response to people like us who are morally broken from birth. We talk about demonstrating the grace of the gospel through gracious deeds and as well as gracious words. If that's true, then the best opportunity we ever have to demonstrate the gospel we talk about is when we are cursed and insulted and robbed and taken advantage of. People have precious little evidence of the merciful God we talk about and we claim to have met. But when we act like him, we lay in their lap evidence that the gospel's true. Originally, the golden rule gave people the opportunity to demonstrate God's righteousness. Jesus turned it into the opportunity for his disciples to demonstrate God's mercy. Disciples of Jesus have found someone or have been found by someone who isn't pushed away by our rough edges. He didn't find us in order to judge us, but to save us. When Peter recognized something of Christ's holy divinity, he said, "Depart from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man." And Jesus didn't go away. Instead, he said, "Peter, follow me. Follow me, Peter." And Peter followed. He discovered God's holy goodness and love. Eventually, he saw how God took flesh and bled, gave his life so that failed human beings could live an eternity without failure. That was God's promise to Abraham so long ago. It's what Moses saw in the temple. Jesus made it all real. He made it all flesh. So Peter could see the face of God in the eyes of Jesus. He found the Holy One whose love would never let him go. Have you ever looked at Jesus and found the Holy One who will never let you go? Question to leave with, Christian. Who can I show God's mercy to? Now, who can I show God's mercy to? Of course you can show mercy to strangers. Give money to help people, for example, in disasters. What a wonderful thing to do. God loves it. But mercy is amplified when given directly and personally to people who hurt you. And the point is not to open your home to buggers or leave yourself open to abuse, none of that stuff. The point is just to responsibly express the same mercy you received in Christ. Such mercy is more costly and therefore in God's eyes more precious. So much so that your reward will be great and the Most High will be proud to call you his child. Let's pray. Father, honestly, we see ourselves in everyone who acts out against us. The details are different, but we've done our own share of acting out. Somehow we found you in Christ. We found your love and your grace and your patience. We found your willingness to treat us differently than we treated you. Thank you. Thank you for loving us and not letting us go. We would like to learn to love like that, but we know it won't be easy. We prefer easy things, you know, and loving people who treat us poorly is just not one of those. Still, it's what your children do. We're glad that there are rewards in heaven, but right now, we'd be pleased just to act like your children. Hear us, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen.